Okay, today we're going to look at another title for the Messiah, for Jesus, and that is Prince of Peace. From Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You actually read it this morning when we read the responsive reading together. But I want to read it again to you, and this time I'm going to be reading it from the Message. And here's how the Message translates Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His name will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of God of the angel armies will do all this. If you would just pray with me, I'd appreciate that. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that as we look at this, your word, God, you would use this time to speak to our hearts. Lord, you would do something with the words that I speak. You would make them alive to those who would hear them. They would be your words. They would draw us to you and help us to find the life that we seek. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do today. And Jesus, we pray and we ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So Isaiah writes that the Messiah shall be called Saver Shalom. The head, the chief, the head person, or the prince of shalom. That word shalom is understood around the world to mean peace, but it's so much more than simply peace. That's just a small part of shalom. In Israel, the word shalom is used on a daily basis. They use it for greeting people. When they greet people, they say shalom. And when they say farewell to people, they say shalom. But again, shalom has so much more meaning than just hello and goodbye. I've come to know Rabbi Joel from the Temple Bethel here in Patchogue. And I love calling the synagogue. Because every time I call the synagogue, they answer shalom. Actually, Jews for Jesus does that too. Now, I don't know if they're just thinking that they're giving me a greeting, but I choose to take it and think of it in the term of its full meaning. Because here's the full meaning of shalom. It's kind of a long list, so hang in there with me. I think it's going to be up on the screen for you. Shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and the absence of agitation or discord. So is it any wonder that I'd be blessed when someone answers the phone and says to me, shalom? Because I choose to take that word for its full meaning, that shalom is being pronounced over me in its full meaning. You know, it'd be much more beneficial, I think, if the American people would greet one another with shalom instead of, hey. So, as Christians and as followers of Messiah Jesus, we are called to bless others And if we really take that seriously, I think that we should pray over others and greet them with shalom in its full meaning. God's shalom. Wouldn't that be a lot better than hello? What does hello even mean? I read in one place that it could come from a French word that roughly translated means, whoa there! What kind of blessing is that? Whoa there! When someone says shalom to you, you should receive it for the tremendous blessing that it's meant to be. And give back a hearty shalom right back to them. So now, since shalom means completeness, perfectness, is it any wonder that Isaiah, in describing the Messiah, would describe him as Shavah Shalom, the Prince of Wholeness, since Jesus is the only completely perfect one and did everything else completely perfect as well. So what does shalom, often translated peace, mean to us? It comes from a verb shalom, which means to restore. To restore in the sense of replacing or providing what's needed in order to make someone whole and complete. Did you get that? If you're not experiencing fullness, completeness, wholeness, rest, peace in the core of your spirit and being, then something needs to be restored. Something needs to be restored by replacing what is not working to bring us peace, or at best brings us temporary peace, and instead providing what is needed in order to make us whole forever. There's a story in Matthew that I want to use to kind of illustrate this point. It's in Matthew chapter 19. It starts in verse 16. And it says that a man, later on we find out that he's a young man. A young man comes to Jesus and he asks him, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to find life, eternal life?" This young man wanted life. This young man wanted to experience more in his life than what he was currently experiencing. He wanted something that was everlasting. And he wanted to know what he could do to achieve that. So Jesus says to him, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good." And Jesus is already beginning, right at the very beginning, he's starting to turn this young man's attention away from his own ability to achieve life, a meaningful life, and he points to the only source of real life, which is in God. And then Jesus says to him, "Okay, if you want to enter life, obey the commandments," which, by the way, is impossible. I don't know if anyone's ever tried to keep the commandments. They're very hard. It's very hard to keep. Well, I at one point in my religious life, I got to a place where I just gave up. Because I said, "I can't do this. I can't keep all these things." And it made me walk away from God and the church. So I just gave up. But the young man says, "Which ones?" Because the Jews had hundreds of commandments. And so Jesus replies to him, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself." Start there, young man. And look what the young man says. "All these I have kept." In other words, the young man says, oh, those commandments, no problem. I've kept all them. I'm good. Really? You've always honored your mother and father? You never lied in any way? You never stole anything? You always love your neighbor with a pure heart, the way you would love yourself? Really? Maybe this young man was thinking a little more highly of himself than we ought. And you can't blame him. Because before God, or we even allow God, to show us our true selves, we usually act like we're a lot better than we really are. Or we think that we think we're better than we are. So, he says, I've kept all these commandments. In other words, I've tried to be a good person, tried to do what the commandments say I should do. I've tried to be a religious person, a good religious person. But then he has this question. He says, so what do I still lack? Something is missing from my life. I'm not feeling fulfilled, complete, whole. Because you see, you could not be very religious, or you could be very religious. Or you could be not such a good person, or you could be a very good person. You could not care about the commandments of God, or you could try to be keeping the commandments of God. And either way, sense that something is missing in my life. I still don't have peace in my soul. What do I still lack? I mean, what's life all about anyway? You get up in the morning, you go to work, you try to be a good person, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch a little TV, you go to sleep, the next day we get up and we do it all over again. Is that it? Is that all life is? There's got to be more to it than that. So we think, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something I need. And then we think, well, maybe what it is that I need to be married. I need to have a spouse. If I have a spouse, then I'll feel complete. And so we do that. And we say, something's still lacking. So then we talk to the spouse. We say, maybe we should have a kid. If we have a child, then, you know, maybe we won't feel like there's something missing. And so you have a child. And then you still feel like something's missing. And then we think, well, maybe we should just need to have more fun. Do whatever we want. Or maybe we need to numb the sense of our emptiness with drugs, alcohol, or pornography, or food, or gambling, or video games, or trying to be a good religious person. So it's interesting what Jesus says next, because, you know, the other thing that we think is, well, when all those things aren't working, maybe, you know, maybe I just need to make some more money and have some more things. Maybe that'll make me feel fulfilled. So it's interesting what Jesus says next to this young person, this young man. And by the way, he's only making this demand of this person. He doesn't make this demand of everybody, but he makes it of this young man. And he says to him, Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, and guess how else you can translate that word? If you want to be complete, if you want to experience wholeness, Jesus says to him, go sell your possessions, give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. So why does Jesus tell this young man to get rid of all of his possessions and give them to the poor. Because he was a very wealthy young man. And it was his wealth that was keeping him from finding life. He thought his wealth was going to help him to find life, and it was the very thing that was keeping him from finding life. And so Jesus says, if you're going to find life, if you really want to be whole, you need to get rid of your possessions, give them to the poor. And he says that to this young man. And then we read next that the young man, when he heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. The very thing that he thought would bring him fulfillment is not working. Because he's the one who said, what do I still lack? Jesus wanted the man to feel complete, to be complete, to find life. He wanted him to. And he said to him, the only way it's going to happen, you've got to turn from the things that you think are fulfilling you. The things that you think are bringing you security and making you feel so important. You've got to turn from things like religion, trying to be good, trying to keep the commandments, trying to make more money, be wealthy, have things. And do what? What do I replace that with? What do I need to find wholeness? What did Jesus say? He said, follow me. Follow me. Replace the things that you think will bring you wholeness with me. Peace is the spiritual harmony that's brought about by our restoration with God. God as the source of peace. God alone is the source of peace. He is Yahweh Shalom. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 24. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and there he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. Something is missing from your life. Something is keeping you from experiencing wholeness. And what that thing is a relationship with God that you find when you follow Christ. And Jesus called everyone to follow him. Rich, poor, religious, unreligious, spiritual, unspiritual. He called all people to follow him. Christmas is about the good news of bringing joy to all people. Isn't that what the angel said to the shepherds? I have good news that will bring joy to all people. Christmas is about God coming in the person of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Wholeness, to restore wholeness in every human being who will give their lives to following him. Christmas is about Jesus being born in us. The Lord came for the sins of humanity, desiring to enter into a relationship with us. He establishes a covenant of peace, and it's sealed with his presence. It says it in the Old Testament. In the great blessing that's found in Numbers chapter 6, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Following Jesus, having a relationship with God, that's the source of our peace. The Lord's presence is peace. Peace even in the midst of difficult times. He's our peace. Participants in this relationship with God will be kept in perfect peace as long as they continue to maintain that relationship with the Lord. Isaiah says this in 26:3. You, Lord, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. Peace. peace, rest, wholeness in your soul, even in the midst of trouble, is the result of a relationship with God, a relationship that's built on trust. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times, in every situation. How? Through his presence. The Lord be with you all. So the Old Testament anticipates and the New Testament confirms God's peace would be mediated to us through a child, a Messiah, being born for us. As our text says, a Prince of Peace. Or as it says in Micah chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. Peace within begins with peace with God. And peace with God comes through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith, our trust in him and follow him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right with God in his sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Or in Colossians, Paul says, chapter 1, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. One more scripture from Acts chapter 10, verse 36. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, all the people of God, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Being made right with God, a righteousness that comes by faith, has brought peace. David put it very poetically in Psalm 85, verse 10, when he wrote, unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. In Romans chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, there will be trouble, listen, there will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil. For the Jew first, and also for the non-Jew, the Gentile. But there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good, for the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Our scripture text today ends with verse 7, Isaiah 9, verse 7, where again in the message he writes, his ruling authority will grow. There'll be no limits to the wholeness that he will bring. He will rule from David's throne and over David's kingdom. And that kingdom will be on a firm footing because he's going to deal with in fairness and right living, beginning now and lasting always. And then listen to this last part. The zeal of God will do this. There is no limit to the wholeness that the Messiah will bring. It's not on you. You can't achieve it on your own. It's the zeal of God that's going to do it. God desires, it's his passionate commitment to us to give us wholeness as we follow Jesus. Last week, Pastor Nick pointed out that we could read that part of the scripture that mentions the names of the Messiah like this. Wonderful Counselor is our mighty God. Everlasting Father is our Prince of Peace. Because the child born at Christmas is all-knowing, the all-powerful, mighty God, he is a wonderful Counselor. And he's a mighty Deliverer. Because the child born at Christmas is the ever-present comforter, just like an everlasting father, all loving and compassionate. Because of that, he could be and is our source of peace, the giver of wholeness, the very source of it. So who is this everlasting father, Prince of Peace? He is the one and the only one who can meet the deepest desires of your heart. He is the one, the only one who can provide peace with God and peace from God. You can trust him. If you want to exchange anxiety for peace, if you want to exchange emptiness for wholeness, receive the greatest gift that you can here on earth. The wholeness, the completeness that comes from God alone by following Jesus Christ. A calm assurance that no matter what comes our way, we know that God, what God is doing is for our best. An angel announced the birth of Christ and said in Luke chapter 2, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. They were praising God and they were saying, because of this child that has been born, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now listen, of course, we're always going to exist in a world of trouble, of persecution, of terrorism, of poverty, of suffering. Jesus did not promise an end to wars, political wars, wars between nations, wars between races. He didn't say there'd be an end of trouble, but rather he promised this, that we could stand on the everlasting promises of God. We can trust him in all situations to be with us, to bring us wholeness and peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. There's another name that Jesus would be called. It's Emmanuel. And we can sum up all of Christmas with these three words. It's the meaning of Emmanuel. God is with us. God with us. With us, with that word with, it means that God is for us. It means that God is on our side. It means that he is present with you. He has your back. That's what that means. He accompanies you. He wants to help you in every way. Christmas is summed up in those three words. God with us. Jesus' birth announcement, God with us. He deeply and intimately connects with us. He wants that connection with you, that relationship with you. He knows your struggles, he knows your dreams, and he walks with you through them. He is present with us, and his presence is the source of our peace, our wholeness. Let me pray for us this morning. Would you please stand with me as I pray? Thank you. Thank you. During the cantata, we prayed, and the prayer was that, Lord, if there is someone here today feeling that emptiness, needing wholeness, needing you, Lord, the Prince of Peace, that perhaps today would be the day that they would whisper, Jesus, be born in me. Forgive my sins. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. Today, Lord, I want to give you my life. If you will forgive my sins, I will do my best to follow you. If that prayer is the prayer of your heart today, those words are just your own words. Just ask Jesus to come into your life. And He will. If you ask, He will. Today during the cantata, we prayed also that maybe there's some here who have walked with the Lord in the past, and then maybe, I don't know, just turned their backs on Him for a while. Or maybe they're just not following as close as they did at one time. And we prayed, Lord, we pray again, Lord, may today be the day that they whisper, Lord, I want to give my life back to you again, fully and completely back to you again, Lord. Like the story with the prodigal son, the Lord comes out and grabs and holds us and loves us, and welcomes us back. I can't think of a better time than this time of year, the Christmas season. God became flesh for us to be present in our life. Can't think of a better time than to give our lives fully to Him. And if you would like to do that and you need to find a place to pray, you can make your way up front and you can pray up here. And if you want people to pray with you, they will. And if you want to pray by yourself, you can pray by yourself. We also have a room up front here behind the piano where you could go in there and quietly and privately pray if you'd like to. Let me just pray for us before we leave here today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. And we just meant it to bless you, Lord. All the singing and praying and talking and everything that we've done, Lord, it was all meant to give you praise, to give glory to you, to say thank you to you for all that you have done. For no one ever has loved us like you love us, Lord, perfectly. You give such great gifts to us, Lord. So we want to come and thank you. And yet, Lord, you always seem to turn things around and bless us instead. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I want to thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people that are here today. People that you desire to enter into a relationship with. Lord, I pray that they would let you in. Make room for you. And let you in. And I pray, Father, your blessing on each one and on each family that is represented. I pray, Lord, because you know their needs. I pray that you'd meet every need, Lord. But most of all, that you'd come alongside to be that strength, to be that help in time of need. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us, Lord, as we leave. Give us a good week. Bring us back on Christmas Eve to just worship you once again. And Lord, help us to enjoy Christmas Day with friends and with loved ones as we remember that you came for us. And Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Lord, bless you. Have a great Christmas if I don't see you.